thank God for grace. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, and I hope you do, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. Wow, I made that nice and small, didn't I? I'm getting old. I'm almost 30. Can't see. I didn't hear anything, but I felt some stuff right there when I said that. I did, so help us, Lord. I didn't mean it. So Genesis chapter 12 is where we will be tonight. And tonight, this thought came on the backs of a message that Brother John Van Gildren preached at camp. He preached that message. I've actually got my notes right here. He preached that message on... Where was that? He preached that on Friday morning, and it kind of sparked the thought of the message before us tonight, one that so simple, but man, so profound. And when you grab a hold of how God works in our lives, you begin to see God at work more. See, we're going to learn tonight that God would work more in the manner that we're going to see in the text before us tonight if we would prepare ourselves and get to a place where we would be sensitive to hear Him. God wants to do great things through us. He wants to use us to be a part of His work. And that's what we're going to see here in our text before us. Genesis 12, if you found your place and you're able, please stand in reverence to God's Word. Genesis chapter number 12, I'm going to read the first 8 verses. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the place of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And I ask Brother Steve Shelley to open us in a word of prayer.
Father God, we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us now through your word. And by the lips of your man, I pray, God, that you give him freedom and liberty to preach. I pray, God, that you give the Spirit's leading to preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So once again, the thought tonight is so simple, yet so profound. And when you grab a hold of this concept, and see, that's where this thought came from. Brother John Van Gildren painted the picture in the sermon that he preached that Friday morning, and it was actually to just the boys at the time. And then when I began to get in the Word of God, the first section I read, it immediately showed exactly what Brother John, what he preached, come to fruition in the Word here, in what we see the life of Abram. And I want to encourage us tonight and help us to see how God works and how He wants to work in our lives. It's going to be a very quick, very simple sermon, but one I hope will be an encouragement to you. So the first thing I want to point out in our text tonight is in how God works, there is always first a divine commencement. Or as Brother John Van Gildren put it in his thought, in the message he put, it begins with a divine initiation. It is instigated, initiated, commenced by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we see in our text before us that God spoke to Abram audibly. God literally spoke to Abram, and he heard him audibly speak to him. But God speaks to you and me through the Word of God today. Now, there are some instances, many instances, I believe, where the Holy Spirit may nudge the heart, I guess I've heard people describe it that way, nudge the heart of a child of God to do something or to pray for someone. And somebody may describe it this way and say, well, God told me. And what we need to do when we hear that, the Holy Spirit nudged me to do this, or God told me to do this, we need to take a step back and say, does it line up with the Word of God? If they say, God told me to do this, and yet the Bible has nothing to say in regards to God telling us to do that, then you can know that it's not God that said that, but their flesh, or maybe even the devil. Because there's many people today that say they're speaking on behalf of or doing things on behalf of God when God's not within a million miles of it. But sometimes, as children of God, God will nudge us to do things. I got a few examples. Example number one, the one that's freshest on my mind, that Tuesday that Bentley got saved. So it actually worked out at the time because I tried, and I did a terrible job, but I tried to split time between both camps. Man, is it hard. They schedule that in such a way where they're like, we don't want you at both places. Not really, but that's how it felt. So I went that night to the beginning of the service. Did we have trivia that night? Is that what it was? I think the Laura and Miss Molly, wherever she's at, was in trivia. Her and Laura they're doing trivia before the service, or maybe it was the choir. I think that night might have been the choir. Oh, and they sang in the choir as well. So I went there to listen to them in the choir, and then what my plan was after that to leave and go walk probably about 80 yards to the Bill Rice Auditorium where the teenagers had church. But that evening, me and you, Brother Chris, walked up and left, and Pastor Daniel looked at me with a real serious look on his face. He said, you know what, I'm going to stay. Now, at the time, I thought, okay, cool. He wants to be with his kids. That's great. He told me that after the fact that he felt like the Lord was nudging him to stay. And now we know it is because God, and he felt specifically that God was doing something in Bentley's heart. Now, did Bentley get saved because Pastor Daniel stayed? No. But God wanted Pastor Daniel to be a part of that. See, the Holy Spirit initiated it in the heart of Pastor Daniel. And Brother John Van Gilderen said something that just blew my mind out of the water. He said, and it's so simple, but you just don't think about these things. It takes a great man of God that eloquent with words that just puts it in a way you can grab a hold of it. But he said, when the Holy Spirit initiates, you know that it's the will of God. And what Pastor Daniel did, that lines up with Scripture. That's not him doing some supernatural thing where he's trying to make himself look good. No, he just felt like God told him to stay there. And he had the privilege a few short minutes after that to lead Bentley to Christ. And I've got a few instances like that in my life, and sadly, it is few. And God wants to do it way more than we realize, because you may be thinking of instances in your life where God has nudged you to witness to somebody or to pray for somebody. See, that's the big ones that come to my mind. There's two times specifically in my life where God really impressed upon my heart to pray for two specific people, two different occasions. I mean, burdened my heart. Now, both times I was actually about to preach at that church where these people were to them. And I found out after the fact, because of what God did in their life, that God was going to save them. Now, it wasn't because of me that God saved them, but God wanted to increase my faith by praying that he would save them. So when he did, it would strengthen my faith. God nudged me to pray for them, and in a few short hours, God saved them. Because God wanted me to be a part of his work. God wanted to strengthen and encourage me. And when the Holy Spirit or God initiates, like Brother John Van Gilderen said, that is the will of God. But like I said earlier, We've got to be in a place where we can hear him. See, if we're not careful, we may be in a position, we may be in a place where God wants to speak to us. Say, hey, witness to this person. I bet there's many a times in my life, sadly, where God wanted me to witness to somebody who maybe was on the brink of being saved. I don't know. But I was too preoccupied with what the things I had going on, or spiritually, I just didn't have my mind where it needed to be, so I was not sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I may have missed an opportunity. God wants to initiate, instigate, commence his work in our heart. That's how it always starts. There will be a divine commencement. Even in the salvation of every soul in here, it didn't start in our mind. It started with God. What did God, the Bible says that we cannot come to him unless we are drawn. There's a divine initiation. That's how it always starts. And as you read through your Bible, and I hope you're reading through it in some way, shape, or form, look for instances. And man, you're going to see them all the time where it starts with God speaking. That's what we have here tonight. God spoke. And that's always how it starts. So we see here in verses 1 through 3, we see, and verse number 7, we see God speaking. We see the divine commencement. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Then verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So God initiated this. This was not Abram's idea. This was God's. When something is the will of God, it will start with God, not with us. So we can't claim the credit. It's God who did it. And we see in this divine commencement three things. Just walking through the text, we see the command, verse number 1. And many times to us, as children of God, there are commands to us. When God initiates, he will line it up with a command from the Word. Maybe sometimes in our lives, the Holy Spirit will initiate or instigate. Say you hear a good message. I'm sure everybody in here, don't raise your hand, but can think in your heart. You've heard a message that God put a finger on something in your life that you needed to get rid of. Divine initiation. It always starts with the Spirit speaking. There was a command here to Abram as well. Verse number 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So we see the command. Then there was consolation. We see the promise. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And there are many times in the Word of God, there are promises when we are obedient, just like they were for Abram. But not only do we see the command and the consolation, but we see Christ. I can't skip past this. We see here the gospel. We see here the promise of the Messiah. We see here the promise of the Savior. It says, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How will they be blessed? Through Jesus. Through the Christ that would shed his blood on the cross for the sins of the world. So we see in every situation of God working, this is the formula. It begins with a divine commencement, initiation, instigation of the Holy Ghost. May God help us to get to a place where we are listening for, sensitive to, the speaking of the Holy Spirit. And remember, it will always line up with this book. If you get a wild idea and it don't line up with the Bible, you need to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that's not from the Word of God. God will never lead you to do something that it goes against what the Bible says. So we see, number one, there will be divine commencement. But we see, number two, the Holy Spirit initiates, but he will not force you and me to do anything. We see there is the duty of the Christian. The duty of the Christian. We see that in verses 4 through 8. We see here that the requirement from us, when the Holy Spirit initiates, is a response. For Pastor Daniel, it was to respond by staying where he was at. For me, in the instances I spoke of, it was for me to pray for the souls that God wanted to save. And Abram here, it was for him to be obedient and get up and go like God told him. But when the Spirit initiates, he demands a response. And just so you know, no response is a response. So we will either respond in trust or faith, or we will respond in transgression or disobedience. But we will respond. And if we respond in trust, in faith, maybe even when we don't fully understand what God is doing, and many times that is the case, but when God leads us, nudges us, impresses upon us to do something that is in accordance with the Word of God, if we will step out by faith, trusting Him to enable us to do whatever it is that it may be, then God will bless. And we're going to see that in a moment. So we see it requires a response, and we either respond in trust or transgression. And we know here that we know that Abram responded in faith because of three things. And the first reason we know that he responded in faith is because of his action. His action. True faith breeds action. True faith will produce a response. Remember, my definition of the word faith is taking God at his word and acting upon it. So we see in verses 4 through 6, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So he departed. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, and they gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So we see there his action. And go with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. Bible says in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So that somebody comes to you cold and wanting clothing, you say, be clothed and be happy and have a good day. Did you really meet that need? Is that true action? No. It was just words of no value. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? See, the world doesn't know you have faith unless you have works. Now, you're saved by faith, not by works. But if you have faith, there will be works. That's how I can't see to the heart of every person in here. I can just see the fruit. I can just see the action. That is why I believe most, if not all, the people in this room right now are saved, because they show it. They show that they have faith in their life by their works. And Abraham showed his faith by his actions. And that's what true faith does. If you have true faith, you will respond. You will act accordingly. So we know that he responded in faith because of his action, but also because of his adoration, his worship. Abraham worshiped God in verses 7 and 8. He says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So Abram here, he had faith. He was praising God for what he had just said. I believe he was believing God for the promise that he made. And we see many instances in the Bible where people do that. They believe God. They believe God so much so that they praise him before it ever happens. If you know Abraham at all, he never really saw the true fulfillment of the promises that were given to him. But he believed God and he acted upon it. And we saw that in his action and his adoration. And also in verse 8, his appeal, not only did he worship, but he cried out to God like we need to do. When God tells us to do something, we still need his empowerment to do it. You say, God, I want to respond in faith. I want to respond in obedience, but God, I cannot do it apart from you doing it through me. We never need to think that once we can respond when he initiates on our own. He initiates, we must respond by his power. And see, when we're in a position to hear the Holy Spirit speak through his word or nudge us in accordance with the word of God, I believe we'll be in a position to understand we can't do whatever that is apart from him. We cannot fulfill the will of God in our own power. So we see God works first with divine commencement. Then there is the duty of the Christian to respond. And then number 3, we see the dependability of our commander. God initiates. We respond, and if we respond in faith, in trust, God will work. That's how God works. God initiates. We respond in faith. God works. As you read your Bible, look, try to catch every instance where that's how it happens, because that's how God works. God speaks, we respond, he is faithful. And that's what we see in the account of Abraham's life. Abraham responded. And guess what? God was faithful. That's the first thing we see. If we'll respond, God did not initiate that command or whatever, that nudging, I guess you could say, in our heart for no reason. He did it because he had a plan. And when God initiates, it is his will, and he will be faithful to fulfill his word and complete his will. So we see he will be faithful. And another thing I want to point out, his timing will be flawless. Just because God initiates doesn't mean that it's going to happen when we want it to. You all know the story of Abram. And then when he gets right with God, they had a little ham on it, as one of my teachers said. But he responded in faith, but in some instances he didn't. Why do you think Ishmael exists? Because Abram tried to rush the will of God. And that put a thorn in his side for the rest of his life. That's why I believe the Bible, in regards to faith, uses the word wait so many times. Trust. If God says he's going to do something, he will do it. Not in our time, but in his. And when he does it in his time, it will be perfect. If Abraham had just waited and trusted God, and see, God wanted to get them to a place where only God could get the glory. He literally had Abram, the Bible says, a man as good as dead. And Sarah, really old and way past childbearing years. He wanted to get them to a position that when a baby was born within their marriage, that it was obvious that it was God that did it. And God wants to do that in our lives. That means he's going to work in his time and not ours. But his timing will be perfect. Remember Lazarus. The world wanted Lazarus to be healed, before he died. And then they chewed him out. They kind of chewed Jesus out when he got there. Said, Lord, if you'd been here earlier, he wouldn't have died. But Christ had a plan all along. He wanted the situation to be so dire and it to be obvious that he was dead, so that when he did raise him to life, they couldn't say, well, yeah, it was medicine. No, it was obvious. The only explanation was God. So much so, the Pharisees, they didn't say, this is fake. No, they said, we got to kill Lazarus. Because they knew it was from God. That's how Christ wants to work. So when he initiates, let's respond and let's trust. Let's not rush, but let's trust. Let's cling to the word. Wait on the Lord. And he will be faithful. His timing will be flawless. And as we live by faith, he will make us fruitful. And in regards to fruitful, two things. We will grow. Our faith will grow. Spiritually, we will grow. We'll become more like our Lord. We'll become better Christians. But not only will we grow, but we will bear good fruit. That's the key. Abraham bore some fruit even when he was out of the will of God for a time, didn't he? Literally, he bore Ishmael. He bore fruit, but it wasn't good fruit. See, you may bear fruit when you're out of the will of God and acting in your own power, but you will not bear good fruit that will last, that God will bless, unless you respond in faith and in trust, waiting on, trusting in the Lord. And in our own power, it is impossible to wait. But that's why God didn't leave us in our own power. He doesn't ask us to do anything that we can't do through him, doing it through us. But that's how God works. Simple. But I wanted us all to grab a hold of that so that we can get ourselves to a point where we say, God, I'm listening. Wake up every morning. Speak to the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, I'm listening today. Pray like I pray a lot of times. Lord, open my ears to hear today. Spiritually, get the earwax out of my ears so that I am sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when he initiates, respond in faith, and he will work, and God will do great things. Or we cannot be in a place where we need to be, and we're not sensitive to the voice of God, and when he speaks, we don't hear it, and we miss out on being a part of the work of God. God wants us to be a part of his work way more than we realize. But we got to be in a place where we can listen, where we'll hear, where we'll respond, and where he can work. Because that's how God works. And I encourage you, as you read the Word of God, look for instances like that. I mean, I found this in Genesis 12. That's pretty early on in the Bible. That's how God works. May God help us to get to a place where we will listen. So as Miss Mary comes to the piano, I told you tonight that would be short, that would be simple. But I wanted to lay it out clearly, how God will work, how he works. As she begins to play tonight, the altar's open. Maybe you want to come say to the altar tonight and say, God, please forgive me for not listening to you. Maybe you're like I have been in the past, where God initiated and I responded, but not in faith, but in disobedience. And you want to come say, Lord, forgive me for responding wrongfully, and please help me to be sensitive to your voice so that when you initiate, I will respond. And when I respond, you will work. That's the divine layout of God. May God help us to listen. Praying, the altar's still open. Even if you don't come forward, I encourage you to pray, Lord, open my ears to hear when you're speaking to me. Help me to get in the Word so the Word is in me, so the Holy Spirit can bring it back to mind when I need it most, when you want us to do something for you. We will listen. He will speak. And if we'll respond correctly, he will work. Amen. You can look up this way. Short and sweet tonight. It's a rarity. You enjoy that.